Good morning again, everyone. This is the next in our series of More to the Stories. We explore stories in the book of Genesis, and we discover on this journey, the different characteristics of God. And so it's been a fun ride so far. And when I think about my faith journey, I've learned that the process of discovery and growth with Jesus is never done. You never reach the top. It's always our spiritual experience sometimes ebbs and flows as we encounter different seasons in our lives or different experiences in our lives. For those of you that have walked with Jesus for a while, you know that's right. The journey ahead isn't always candy and clouds. There's going to be hard moments, things we don't understand, times of doubt. Yet when we know who we are in Jesus, we have a foundation to build on. As we've walked through parts of Genesis, we've looked at the journey of various people: Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Sarah, Hagar, Jacob, and Esau. We've seen how each of them faced something that challenged them and how that affected their faith. In fact, for many of them, it affected them in deep foundational ways, as God changed names, right, and identities along the way, living situations, and then he made covenantal promises, especially with Abraham. Through all these people, we can see that no matter what your age, the spiritual journey continues to ebb and flow as we face life in this world. This morning, we're going to discuss and focus on the final chapters of Genesis and the story of a young man that is on quite a journey of his own. His story spans the final 13 chapters of Genesis, so I'm guessing that must mean he's important. Just thinking. His name is Joseph. Because of the length of this story, we're going to focus on just one aspect of that story. So I encourage you to read it all for yourself and join in on the podcast that you'll be able to access this week on Cornerstone's website. So we read of Joseph's birth in Genesis 30. But his story becomes the focus in Genesis 37 when he is 17 years old. For context, he is the 11th son of Jacob. Remember Jacob? His mother was Rachel, who happened to be Jacob's favorite wife. Don't know why we have to know that, but she was. And he lived the life of the favorite son. His father made him an amazing, colorful coat. Probably some of you have seen the musical. It was Technicolor. That represented being the chosen son to receive Jacob's birthright, and we get the impression that he was pretty proud of it. Genesis 37:4 tells us that his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Ooh, that's uncomfortable. At 17, Joseph had two dreams. In each of his dreams, whether sheaves of grain or sun and moon or stars, he's bowed to. Which, of course, he has to tell his brothers that. When he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. So he just had a little fire, here's gasoline. That's basically what happened. With hindsight, we can see that these dreams mean something. But at this point, he's just a spoiled teenager, spouting off, and in his excitement or pride, he has to tell his family. Joseph is so amped up about the dreams, he is clueless about the effect he's having on his own family. Jacob, who had his own dream encounters with God, knew something was happening, but had to agree with his sons. This is crazy. We shake our heads at Joseph, but how many of us would do the same? We get a glimpse of what could be, and we want to jump to it before we have the skill or the character to handle it. In Joseph, we get the sense of arrogance. We get the sense of entitlement. We get the sense of immaturity. Not long after this, Jacob sends Joseph out to check on his brothers, even though the oldest is in his 30s at this point. He finds them quite a distance away, and when they see him, we read this. You know this is just going to keep getting uglier, don't you? "Here comes the dreamer," they said. Oh, boy. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Okay, here's our first stopping point in the story. Joseph, a favored, pampered son being groomed to take over the family business is not only thrown into a pit, but here's his brother's plot to kill him. Thankfully, Judah, one of his brothers, steps in, and instead of killing him, the brothers decide to sell him to some Ishmaelite traders for 20 pieces of silver. The traders, in turn, sell him to an officer of the Pharaoh of Egypt, Potiphar, who was captain of the palace guard. So, Joseph is now a slave. He went from having been seen as the next leader of his family and having his every need met to slavery. What would you be feeling at this point? God didn't stop the brothers from selling him. God didn't stop the lies that would follow. It might raise some questions about who you think God is. Why would God let this happen? These kinds of questions are a part of our spiritual journey. It begins with exploring faith and seeking a place to belong and discover who Jesus is, which we pray over time will lead to a decision to follow Christ, believing in him. And as we believe, we discover more of Jesus and go through the process of becoming more like him. For Joseph, he belonged in his family, he knew the God of his father Jacob, and he was in the process of becoming the man he thought he was destined to be, but slavery. We call this the wall in our spiritual journey. It's that moment when you have a decision to make about what you believe in God. Is he truly merciful? Is he initiating something? Is he really the order maker? Is he love? Because what you believe about God as you are becoming will either help push through the wall or keep you stuck. For many people, that little green star is where they live in their journey. It feels like a good place to be. You believe, it's all good, I get it, but in my own experience, I've learned that when we push through, we can thrive. This process of belief to the wall, to thriving, is all a part of the characteristic we see of God in the story of Joseph, is that, in fact, he is the refiner. Joseph has a decision to make as he's confronted with life as a slave. He can be frustrated and angry. He can grow bitter over time and blame his brothers more and more, which he maybe did for a while. Or he could look inward and ask what brought his brothers to do what they did and seek to live into what God has shown him. Would he allow this experience to refine him? Now, make no mistake about it, it's nice that we see Joseph starting as a teenager because this is a maturing process. It's not usually our first response when we deal with hard stuff in life, right? It's important to be clear here. When Romans 8:28 tells us God works all good things for good, it doesn't mean your circumstances will change. But it does mean that they are never wasted. God's purpose in your becoming process is to help you become more like Jesus. He's forming you. He's refining you. There's a book called Lower, and the author, Zach Meerkreebs, says this. One of the first dynamics of holistic spiritual formation will be confrontation. Oh, shoot. True, though, isn't it? Confrontation. The wall. Refinement. It's when the Spirit of God probes the area of our lives where we aren't formed in the image of Christ. Those parts of us that aren't following Jesus, those parts of us that aren't believing Jesus. We are confronted with an area for growth. In the life of Joseph, he has some areas where he doesn't have the skill or the character he needs to be what God has planned for him. He needs refining. So let me say that again. Refinement happens when the Holy Spirit probes an area of our lives where we are not formed in the image of Christ. Now, that probing will create conflict within us or around us that will feel like a confrontation or a wall, which will force us to make a choice. Will we allow God to refine us and learn or not? Do we want to be more like Jesus, or is it just too hard? Any transition, any change, any conflict can lead us to discover an area where we need growth, especially those that we don't see coming. Job loss, faith questions, divorce, being cut from the team. It's in the harder moments that we discover those ugly things that can leak out of us, and we discover an area for growth. Even when it's a change we see coming, it can hit deep. Empty nesting, retirement, moving into high school or college. That seems like a billion years ago, but anyhow. I still remember the angst. The wall of identity discovery is a big one. I faced many walls on my spiritual journey. Some were harder than others, but each one of them brought healing or growth in an area that I now can see in retrospect that it happened. One of the hardest was the wall of fear, and it was the fear of rejection. It's a deep one that required more than I wished it had. And even though it still tries to build itself back up at me in times, I do know that it's worth the refinement. Our spiritual journey is the development of Christ-like character in us. It doesn't always feel good. It's not easy, but it's worth it. So as our refiner, God knows where we need growth. He knows where we need repentance. He knows where we need healing. For Joseph, if the dream was to become reality, there was some work he had to do. Joseph was in no way ready to be the leader that his dreams seemed to imply. So God takes him on a refining course. It's a dramatic one. Joseph lived as a slave for 11 years in Potiphar's house. This is what we read in Genesis 39. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. God didn't just say, go learn something about humility. Grow up, right? And true servant leadership. Go learn about that. Go take some leadership classes. I'll catch up with you later. No, God was with Joseph to the point that even Potiphar could see it. Which does show us something. He was pushing through the wall, wasn't he? He was pushing through the wall, seeing how God would use this situation. It's hard, isn't it? It's a struggle to ask, what can I learn? I was in pest control for over 30 years. I went to school for telecommunications, TV, and radio. I was in pest control for 30 years. That transition didn't make sense, but what it did was made me a better leader. I was able to manage people and supervise people and manage offices and supervise and deal with customer complaints and deal with people that were afraid, because pests seem to frighten people sometimes, especially men in spiders, just to let you know. Something I didn't know. But the point was, is that that wasn't my plan. But he used all those years of doing that to make me a better pastor. To be able to communicate in a precise manner, that's my goal, is to do that all the time. If I say something that makes sense, that's sort of the goal of this, right? So, as I was called into ministry, I realized I've grown. I can do this now because of what God has brought me through. Here's the truth we need to hold on to when we're going through that refining period. My circumstances don't define God. God doesn't change. He is always the order maker. He is always merciful. He is always loving. He is always initiating. He is always counseling. Those are all the characteristics of God, just as a refresher there. But God is with us, and as he did in Joseph, he will use us for his work, and even while we are in that process. So often we allow what we are experiencing affect what we believe about God. When if we can hang on to what we know of God, it's his work in us that moves us through the confrontation, that moves us toward the refining. Now, over time, Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph and tries to get him, well, let's just say this is over PG-13, okay? So we're just going to leave it at that. I played Potiphar in that play, and Potiphar really got taken advantage of here. But anyhow, Joseph does turn her down, which makes her what? Pretty angry. And it lands him where? In prison. Duh. This is a new low. First, he was a slave. He was at the bottom there, he thought. But now, he's not just a slave, he's a convict. He is cast out of society. He has no value. He's lost all standing with those who knew him. How will he deal with this new wall in his life? So he, Potiphar, took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained, but the Lord was with Joseph still, right? There he's still with Joseph, in the prison, and showed him his faithful love. Remember, God won't waste an opportunity to help you become like his son Jesus. For Joseph, he was confronted with a new wall. How could his dream be fulfilled if he was in prison? Genesis 39 shows us that the Lord was with him and showed him faithful love. God is at work, even though Joseph may not have seen it at the time. I'm guessing he didn't see it at the time. Let's just say it. God was putting the pieces in place. God was refining Joseph's character. God was teaching him leadership. God was teaching him management skills. He's become a man of integrity. He's become trusted with high responsibility. He's still walking with God. Still seeking to live fully wherever he is. And even in that humble, forgotten place, God is with him. So much so that when Pharaoh has dreams, Joseph is brought in to interpret them. So that dream thing is still on people's minds. They know, hey, that guy in prison. So Joseph is brought in to interpret the Pharaoh's dreams. And when asked about interpreting the dream, Joseph says this, "It's beyond my power to do this," Joseph replied. "But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease." Whoa, there's a different dude already, isn't it? There is holy confidence in Joseph as he hears Pharaoh's dreams. They foretell of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine to come. We see his growth as he suggests Pharaoh find a wise man to oversee the preparation for the famine years. You see it coming? He doesn't say, "Me, you should choose me." That would have been the 17-year-old Joseph. He trusts that God will use him in whatever way God will. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now, would this have been said about Joseph when he was 17? No. But after refining, Pharaoh, a pagan king, acknowledges the Spirit of God in him. Joseph is 30 years old, by the way, when this happens. It's been 13 years since he had the dreams of grain and stars. And finally, at 30, he steps into his full identity, living into the man God made him to be. He had spent 13 years learning integrity, humility, trusting in God, using his gifts while he was also learning how to manage and organize and serve. At 17, Joseph, even with his dreams, had no idea where God was going to take him. He may have thought leader of the family was his purpose, or that at the very least the thought that he would run dad's business. Yet here he is ruling over an entire country, second in line to Pharaoh. Do you think 17-year-old Joseph would see that coming? I'm guessing not. Joseph shows us the wonder of what can happen when we push through the walls and discover what God has in store. It's like Ephesians 3:20 that tells us this, "He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us." God is our refiner, working in us as we seek to become more like him, experiencing the full and abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John 10. God knew what he was, this is from Romans 8:29. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Now, interesting tidbit. Much of Joseph's story mirrors the life of Jesus to come. God was shaping Joseph to be more like Jesus long before Jesus even walked this earth. And he is at work shaping us, helping us to see the walls that we need to face so that we can become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit will probe our lives, showing us where we are not formed in the image of Jesus, and push us to grow, push us to learn and mature, and it's up to each of us to decide if we will continue to discover more of the abundant free life on the other side of each wall we face. That's our decision to make every day, every time we hit a wall. Joseph's life was a full, refining journey. It wasn't all nice and easy. It was take up your cross kind of hard. Ours will be the same. And I know that doesn't sound hopeful or happy, but the end result is becoming more like Jesus. And that is worth everything. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Joseph and his story, for the recognition and the reminder that you're not done with us yet. You're never done with us. And also that we're never without you. So what a blessing that is. We want to be more like your son Jesus every day. Help us be reminded of that. When we talk to our neighbors, when we talk to strangers, when we serve the marginalized, when we help the poor and visit those in prison. Lord, help us be like your son Jesus every minute of every day. Come, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.